brand new course. They just spent $21 million on it. And it's a link style course, which is very strange for the U.S. Open. Mark Zucchino from Golf Talk Canada, which you can watch on TSN, joins us. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good, gentlemen. Yourself?
I'm doing all right. I'm intrigued, somewhat perplexed. The USGA, in the past anyway, has had a history of at times almost wanting to borderline embarrass some of the players, you know, with the way the courses have been laid out, how fast the greens are. And with this being a link-style course, you know, I was watching some, reading online some reviews about how hard already the fairways and the greens are, Mark. If this doesn't soften up, you know, we could be talking, you know, even par might win you the tournament. Is that a concern in your mind?
Yeah, I could get over that. And you know, it's funny because we throw around the term links, you know, a little loosely, especially on this kind of this side of the pond, but this is truly a links golf course. This, you know, Whistling Straits, Kiawah Island, they visually look like things you might see in Ireland or Scotland or things of that nature, but they're still aerial golf courses, still greens receptive and balls need to fly far and high. This is nothing like that. This golf course is like playing in a parking lot. You're going to see guys putting from 30, 40 yards off the green. You're going to see the ball hopping around and ricocheting like you would in a British Open. It's going to be very different, and it's going to be very quirky. And Mike Davis, the executive director of the USGA, responsibility kind of falls in his lap because they can have a real British, a real brilliant U.S. Open that will feel like a British Open, but it can still be fair, and it can still identify the best player, but only if he sets it up properly. If he gets out of hand with like not watering this golf course at all, finding stupid pin positions, this golf course has some real unique features like uneven tee blocks, and if he goes around trying to find ridiculous lies on tee decks to get in players' heads, this could get out of hand.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. The one thing I take away from looking at this course is I don't know that you need to trick it up like that with some of the placements you're talking about. I'm seeing one, two, three, four, five, looks like six holes at least directly affected by water. I'm looking at 18. Is that going to be set up as a five at over 600 yards?
See, you've hit a nail on the head here because this is where the fear is. This golf course on its own, without tricking it up, is a solid test and will give us a great U.S. Open. But if Mike Davis goes and plays those tricks, that's when it could get out of hand. And one of the more controversial things happening in this year's U.S. Open is Mike Davis has said that he's going to rotate the pars throughout the week on holes 1 and 18. So one can play as a par 4 or as a par 5. 18 could play as a par 4 or as a par 5. Now, it's designed as a 608-yard par 5. That's what it's meant to be. And the first hole, the opening hole, is meant to be a par 4. Now, Davis is playing around with yardages and pars. You could show up there Thursday. It could be 525 par 4, or it could be 608 par 5. And he could do the same thing on one. And this is the type of, I don't know, quirkiness, some will call arrogance on the USGA's part in the setting up of this golf course. I'm of the belief that you just let the golf course be what it is, which is a real brilliant property, play 18 as a par 5, which it was designed to, play number one as a par 4, as it was designed, and you're going to have a great championship, probably one somewhere between 2 under and 2 over. If they start playing around with this thing, floating pars, crooked tee decks, not watering the golf course at all, finding pin positions that it's impossible to get to, it could get embarrassing. And I don't really care about the score. I'm totally fine if 5 over wins the U.S. Open. What I don't want is luck involved. I don't want the luckiest player to win. I want the best player to win. The U.S. Open is about identifying the best player, not identifying the luckiest player. And that's the thin line that he is going to walk over the next 4 days.
Mark Zucchino joins us from Golf Talk Canada. Now, Mark, when does this decision have to come down to the players? Like, do they wait? You can't wait till tomorrow morning and say, oh, by the way, the first one's a par 4 or a par 5. Like, is there a time limit? Does it have to be announced tonight?
No, it doesn't have to be announced
what?
Tonight. Like, as long as it's done before that first tee gets to that tee tomorrow, before they hand out the score, the odds are it would come out tonight. We'll have to keep our eye open for that. I haven't seen official word for tomorrow's setup, but you know, in theory, they don't have to tell anybody. I guess the par 70 will remain every day. That will not flinch. So they will play a par 70 regardless. So if you know if the first hole is going to be a par 5 tomorrow, then you know that the 18th hole will be a par 4, so that they can remain that par 70. But Mike Davis has been very clear about his intentions when they chose to come to Chambers Bay. His goal was to keep the players off balance, was the term he used, for the entire week. And we had Robert Trent Jones on our TV show earlier this week, and Robert Trent Jones suggested that Mike Davis could show the golfers four completely different golf courses each day. So, and that kind of falls in line with that, term off balance. And this could be really great. This could go down as one of the finest U.S. Opens, but it could also quite easily go down as a circus. And I'm more concerned about the U.S. Open losing its identity. When you guys think about last year at Pinehurst, we played a U.S. Open with no rough. Now we're playing a U.S. Open with Lynx golf as a true Lynx test. Next year they will go to Oakmont, which is a classic U.S. Open design. But then in 2017, they'll come back with Aaron Hills. So three out of the next four, three of the last four U.S. Opens are going to look more like a British Open than what our classic U.S. Open design is. So I'm a little worried. I'd lie if I told you I wasn't concerned as a golf fan and somebody who wraps his life around this game. Time will tell. I hope he keeps his ego in check, lets the course become the star that it should be, and then the players should, they should appreciate this golf course. But like I said, it's going to be a very thin line. And I tell you right now, the revolving par does not set well with me at all.
Yeah, Mark, I'm with you on that one. Of the holes near the water, are there any that are really affected by the terrain in sense of Puget Sound and the wind? Is 17 or 16 the ones most affected by that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be 15 and 16. Okay. If you're looking for a couple holes, I think it's 15 and 16. If the winds kick up, which they usually do off Puget Sound, I think it'll come into play. If you look at that 16th green, especially when they use that back right pin placement, it looks like it's the pin sitting on a billiards table. It's so small. And when that wind kicks up off Puget Sound, and there's no place to miss it. You can't miss it long. You can't miss it left. You can't miss it right. For what is going to be a fairly short par four, it could be difficult. And then you look at 15, and they can play that par three anywhere from about 110 yards, which we probably won't see, up to about 215. And it'll play right into the teeth of the wind coming off Puget Sound. And the only tree on the property hangs behind that 15th green and just kind of stands there as a sign, almost as a symbol to the rest of the terrain in that area, such a heavily wooded area, as a reminder that you're actually in the northeast of the U.S. because you'd never guess you're there. if you were to blindfold somebody and spin them around, they'd probably say they're in Scotland. So there's going to be some real interesting holes. Number 12 will be a drivable par 4 every day. Number 9 is just a brilliant par 3. That plays around 2 to 224. But the interesting thing is if they play the 224 deck, tee deck, there is a 100-foot drop from tee to green. So 10 stories from tee to green. If they play the tee deck that plays the hole about 199, which is the lower tee deck to the right, you actually play the hole 20 feet uphill. So this is a par 3 that can play 100 feet downhill or 20 feet uphill. When you think about the diversity and the quirkiness and uniqueness of this property, it's really something special, and kind of goes back to the first half of our conversation. It just needs to be left alone, and it'll be fine.
Mark, when you look at guys who, you pick to win a tournament like this, you got your McIlroys and Spieth and maybe Dustin Johnson and so on. But with the course layout and the way it may play, what do you think of a guy like Justin Rose here?
Yeah, Justin Rose is a great pick. You kind of look at the fact, my picks were McIlroy and Spieth, just because I think, their heads and shoulders above everybody else right now. And my long shots were Francesco Molinari at 100-1 because he's shown good form, and Michael Putnam that lives about 2 miles from this golf course and has played it about 100 times, and he's 250-1. And a guy who's played a golf course 60 times at 250-1, I kind of like those betting odds. Mm-hmm. But Justin Rose, and I like European players. You know, Europeans had a drought of 40-plus years. You got to go back to Tony Jacklin and then all the way to Graham McDowell in 2010. There was such a long drought for Europeans at the U.S. Open. And then they've won 4 of the last 5 U.S. Opens. Justin Rose, Graham McDowell, Martin Keimer, you know, 4 of the last 5. And when you consider that this golf course is going to be played on the ground more so than any other U.S. Open we've ever seen, and it's going to replicate a British Open more than any other U.S. Open we've ever seen, boy, you got to look at the Europeans and give them a real significant nod or advantage when it comes to handicapping this field. And, you know, if it wasn't for Jordan Spieth just being the best putter in the world and hands down right up there with Rory McIlroy, the two best players on the planet, after those two names, you really got to start looking at the Europeans, and Jordan and Justin Rose would be at the top of that list.
Mark Sacchino joins us. Can Tiger Woods make the cut?
I would be shocked if Tiger, you know, obviously, can he? Yes. But when you're talking the severity of this golf course, I would be shocked if Tiger Woods made the cut, and I'd be shocked if we didn't see one round in the 80s, or at least threatening to shoot 80. And people will point to the wide fairways of this golf course and say, because it has wide fairways and because you can play the ball on the ground, that is going to help Tiger. And yes, if he makes the cut, it will be because of that. But we go back a couple of weeks ago to the Memorial. Those are the widest fairways on the PGA Tour. He was the only player in the field that made the cut that had less than 50% of his fairways hit. He hit 35% of the fairways at Memorial. You can hit the fairways at Memorial, you know, regardless. They're so wide, it's ridiculous. Most of the guys who contended were hitting 85, 88% of their fairways. There's Tiger at 35%, a tournament he's won 5 times before. So I'm sorry. I'd just be absolutely shocked. Now, ask me if I hope I'm wrong. Yes, I hope I am so wrong. Nothing would make me happier than to see Tiger Woods in the mix on Sunday. Not because I'm a huge Tiger supporter, but I just think the game's more interesting. I think it's better for everybody if Tiger's in the mix. But what the worst thing for golf is for Tiger to go shoot 85 and Fox Sports, you know, isolate a camera on him for 4 hours and we got to watch him shoot 85. You know, no one needs to see that. But I am fearful that that is the case, and it would, you know, it would surprise me more that he is in contention than it would if he shoots 85, 79 and goes home.
Mark, we know the young bucks, we've talked about them. From the 40 plus crowd, is there anybody you like who could take a run at this just based on experience, be it on this side of the pond or in Europe?
Yeah, it's obviously a little sentimental, but Phil Mickelson, looking for the career Grand Slam, looking for the tournament that has eluded him, 6 second place finishes at the U.S. Open. But if you think about it, it's kind of lining up. This is a guy who took 10, 15 years to embrace the British Open, really didn't like Lynx golf, and found a way to fall in love with it, and it turned into an Open Championship win back in 2013. He started to appreciate the imagination needed to play at Lynx Golf. Won a Scottish Open that same year, you know, the week before the British Open. Mm-hmm. He's been to Chambers Bay working on his game, working on this golf course for 2 weeks, and he is one of the only players that has verbalized publicly that he loves the golf course. He thinks it's imaginative. He thinks that you're going to have to accept bad bounces, accept bad shots that end up good, that you're going to get those kind of things that happen around here. And I think the fact that he's embraced it, he's coming off a 65 on Sunday at the FedEx St. Jude Classic last week where he finished tied for fourth. So he's showing some form, and his mind is positive. And if there's anybody with a better imagination around the greens than Phil Mickelson, I don't know who it is. I don't think there's ever been a player inside 100 yards with more imagination than Phil Mickelson. So when you think about these things, you start thinking maybe this isn't just a story, a fairy tale or storybook storyline that the media is conjuring up. Maybe there is actually some authenticity and some reality based in the fact that guys like me are pointing at Phil saying this could happen.
Mark, it should be an excellent one. Give me your who's your top three guys you think can win?
Yeah, if you're just asking for favorites, I will take Rory, Jordan Spieth, and Ricky Fowler. If you're just asking for favorites, the hearts with Phil Mickelson. But I will have $5 on Francesco Molinari at 100-1 and another $5 on Michael Putnam at 250-1. Because if those guys are in the mix come Sunday with those kind of odds, your attention will be there for sure. So,
hey, gotta love that, man. Hey, for $5, why not? All right, I appreciate
it. Why not? Enjoy it, guys. It should be fun.
You betcha. Mark Zucchino from Golf Talk Canada.